Welcome back, listeners, to Sandman Stories Presents, a folklore podcast where I read you to sleep or until the next story. I'm your host, Dustin. Today we are back in Ghana, and this one is an epic. We have Ohia and his wife, Awirhu. They are constantly losing at life. Finally, Ohia catches a break and learns how to speak animal, but unfortunately it's the same rules as Simon of the Snakes from Armenia. You tell someone, and you die. Okay, let's begin. Ohia and the Thieving Deer. There once lived upon earth a poor man called Ohia, whose wife was named Awirhu. This unfortunate couple had suffered one trouble after another. No matter what they took in hand, misfortune seemed to lie in wait for them. Nothing they did met with success. They became so poor that at last they could scarcely obtain cloth in which to cover themselves. Finally, Ohia thought of a plan which many of his neighbors had tried and found successful. He went to a wealthy farmer who lived near and offered to hew down several of his palm trees. He would then collect their sap to make palm wine. When this should be ready for market, his wife would carry it there and sell it. The proceeds would then be divided equally between the farmer, Ohia, and Awirhu. This proposal having been laid before the farmer, he proved quite willing to agree to it. Not only so, but he granted Ohia a supply of earthen pots in which to collect the sap, as their miserable man was far too poor to buy any. In great delight, Ohia and his wife set to work. They cut down the trees and prepared them, setting the pots underneath to catch the sap. Before the cockcrow on market day, Ohia set off with a lighted torch to collect the wine and to prepare it for his wife to take into town. She was almost ready to follow. To his great distress, on arriving at the first tree, instead of finding an earthen pot filled with the sweet sap, he saw it lying in pieces on the ground, the wine all gone. He went on to the second and third trees, but there, at all the others too, same thing had happened. His wife, in high spirits and ready for the market, joined him at this moment. She saw at once, by his face, that some misfortune had again befallen them. Sorrowfully, they examined the mischief and agreed that some wicked person had stolen the wine and then broken the pots to hide the theft. Awirhu returned home in despair, but Ohia set to work once more. He fetched a second supply of pots and placed them all ready to catch the sap. On his returning the next morning, he found that the same behavior had been repeated. All his wine was again stolen and his pots in fragments. He had no resource but to go and tell the farmer and tell of these fresh misfortunes. The farmer proved to be very kind and generous and gave orders that Ohia might have as many pots as he should require. Once more the poor fellow returned to the palm trees and set his pots ready. This third attempt, however, met with no better result than the previous two. Ohia went home in despair. His wife was of the opinion that they should give up trying to overcome their evil fortunes. It was quite evident that they could never attain success. The husband, however, decided that at least he would find and punish the culprit if that were possible. Accordingly, he bravely set his pots in order for the last time. When night came, he remained on guard among the trees. Midnight passed and nothing happened. But toward 2 o'clock in the morning, a dark form glided past him to the nearest palm tree. A moment after, he heard the sound of a breaking pot. He stole up to the form. On approaching it, he found that the thief was a bush deer, carrying on his head a large jar, onto which was pouring the wine from Ohia's pots. As it emptied them, it threw them carelessly on the ground, breaking them into pieces. Ohia ventured a little nearer, intending to seize the culprit. The latter, however, was too quick for him and escaped, dropping a great pot on the ground as he ran. The deer was very fleet, but Ohia determined to catch him, and so followed. The chase continued over many miles until midday arrived, at which time they had reached the bottom of a high hill. The deer immediately began to climb, and Ohia, though almost tired out, still followed. Finally, the summit of the hill was reached, and there Ohia found himself in the midst of a great gathering of quadrupeds. The deer, panting, threw himself on the ground before the king tiger. His Majesty commanded that Ohia should be brought before him to be punished for this intrusion into such a serious meeting. Ohia begged for a hearing before they condemned him. He wished to explain fully his presence there. King Tiger, after consulting with some of the other animals, agreed to listen to his tale. Thereupon, Ohia began to tell the story of his unfortunate life. He told how one trial after another had failed, and how finally he had thought of the palm wine. He described his feelings on discovering the first theft, after all his labor. He related the second, third, and fourth attempts, with the results of each. He then went on to tell of his chase after the thief, and thus explained his presence at their conference. The quadrupeds listened very attentively to the recital of Ohia's troubles. At the conclusion, they unanimously agreed that the deer was the culprit and the man was blameless. The former was accordingly sentenced to punishment, while the latter received an apology in the name of the entire conference. King Tiger, it appeared, had each morning given deer a large sum of money to purchase palm wine for the whole assembly. The deer had stolen the wine and kept the money. To make it up to Ohia for all of his losses, King Tiger offered him, as a gift, the power of understanding the conversation of all the animals. This, he said, would speedily make Ohia a rich man. But he attached one condition to the gift. Ohia must never, on pain of instant death, tell anyone about his wonderful power. The poor man, much delighted, set off for home. When it was reached, he lost no time in setting to work again at his palm trees. From that day, his troubles seemed over. His wine was never interfered with, and he and Awerhu became more and more prosperous and happy. One morning, while he was bathing in a pool quite close to his house, he heard a hen and her chickens talking together in the garden. He listened and distinctly heard a chicken tell Mother Hen about the 3 jars of gold buried in Ohio's garden. The hen bade the chicken to be careful lest her master could see her scraping near the gold and so discover it. Ohia pretended to take no notice of what they were saying and went away. Presently, when Mother Hen and her brood had gone, he came back and commenced digging in that part of the garden. To his great joy, he found 3 large jars of gold. They contained enough money to keep him in comfort all his life. He was careful, however, not to mention his treasure to anyone but his wife. He hid it safely inside his house. Soon, he and Awerhu had become the richest of couples in the neighborhood, and owned quite a large amount of property. Ohia thought he could afford now to keep a second wife, so he married again. Unfortunately, the new wife did not at all resemble Awerhu. The latter had always been a good, kind, honest woman. The new wife was of a very jealous and selfish disposition. In addition to this, she had a crooked eyebrow, and continually imagined that people were making fun of her defect. She took the idea into her head that Ohio and Awerhu, when together, were in the habit of laughing at her. Nothing was further from their thoughts, but she refused to believe so. Whenever she saw them together, she would stand and listen outside the door to hear what they were saying. Of course, she never succeeded in hearing anything about herself. At last one evening, Ohio and Awerhu had gone to bed. The latter was fast asleep when Ohio heard a conversation which amused him very much. A couple of mice in one corner of the room were arranging to go to the larder to get some food, as soon as their master, who was watching them, was asleep. Ohio, thinking this was a good joke, laughed outright. His second wife heard him and rushed into the room. She thereupon accused him of making fun of her again to Awerhu. The astonished husband, of course, denied this, but to no purpose. The jealous woman insisted that, if he were laughing at an innocent joke, he would at once tell it to her. This Ohia could not do without breaking his promise to the King Tiger. His refusal fully confirmed the woman's suspicions, and she did not rest till she had laid the whole matter before the chief. He, being an intimate friend of Ohia, tried to persuade him to reveal the joke and set the matter at rest. Ohia naturally was most unwilling to do anything of the sort. The persistent woman gave the chief no peace till he summoned her husband to answer her charge before the assembly. Finding no way of escape from the difficulty, Ohia prepared for death. He first called all his relatives and friends to a great feast, and then bade them farewell. Then he put his affairs in order, bequeathing all his gold to his faithful wife, Owirhu, and his property to his son and servants. When he had finished, he went to the assembly place, where the people of the neighborhood were gathered together. He first took leave of the chief, and then commenced his tale. He related the story of his many misfortunes, of his adventure with the deer, and finally his promise to King Tiger. Finally, he explained the cause of his laughter, which had annoyed his wife. In so speaking, he fell dead, as the tiger had warned him. He was buried amid great mourning, for everyone had liked and respected him. The insecure woman who had caused her husband's death was seized and burnt as a traitor. Her ashes were then scattered to the four winds of heaven, and it is owing to this unfortunate fact that jealousy and selfishness are so widespread throughout the world, where before they had scarcely existed. The end. I love the ability to speak with animals. It is truly a superpower I could get behind. If you've seen my Instagram, you can tell that Dee Dee and I have a special bond, and I can read her mind pretty well. And of course, same as Simon, is the trope about the bad wife forcing him to tell the forbidden truth. With Simon, it was enough to threaten violence, but in this story, she is scattered to the wind and becomes jealousy around the world, which I think is a cool way to explain jealous feelings. Still, in the original story, the wife is originally labeled as lame, and I thought that was taking a pot shot at folks who have a disability, so I changed it to a crooked eyebrow because, you know, what does that even mean? Still, it was a fun story, and I look forward to more from the Ghana stories. The podcast shout-out is to the History of New Zealand podcast. Hans, as it is lovingly called, is a history of the country that some call New Zealand and others call Aotearoa. Kia ora to the host, Thomas, who mixes Kiwi legends with historical events and gives people a wonderful background to the people of New Zealand. He uses a lot of te reo, or Maori words. You can look those up on his website, history.aotearoa.com. And if you love his podcast as much as I do, go and give him a review and a rating, and I really hope you dig this wonderful podcast. And the listener shout-out is to Dubai. Home to the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world at the moment. It is also the most populated city in the Emirates, and it's possibly named after a slow-moving creek, as it could come from the Arabic word daba. Still, if you are my listener from Dubai, Alif Shukran Habibi, thank you, and good night.